Welcome to Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. Today, my special guest is Brazil Mayor Brian Windham. Brian was first elected in November 2011. He was reelected in 2015 and 2019. Prior to becoming mayor, Brian served on the Clay County Council, as well as the Clay County and Brazil Redevelopment Commission. Mayor Windham, welcome to Focus on the Community.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you having me here today.
Well, we're glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to chat this morning. I'm going to just talk very quickly about politics. You've got Democrat next to your name when you've ran and won three times in a row. And in rural Indiana, it's been pretty tough for the Democrats to win. I mean, how have you been so successful in an area that seems to be so Republican running as a Democrat?
Well, I think part of that, in a community like ours, a lot of people don't see the D and the R as much as you might think they do, due to the fact that one thing about a mayor's position, a lot of people need to understand, that's an administrative position. You know, I don't vote on making ordinances or laws or anything like that. Your council's your legislative body, and obviously the mayor, I'm in an administrative position. So in a lot of those heated areas of conflict, I'm not even allowed to weigh in on. But, you know, here we know each other in this community. We eat the same place. We shop at the same place. I have a lot of friends that are Democrats and have a lot of friends that are Republicans. And we've been able to be successful due to the fact when we have our meetings, even the city council meetings, I can say this, I've never seen politics enter that room. And that's a good thing. We're able to get things done and move forward. I mean, it's not about being a Democrat and Republican. It's all about having the same goal. We may have different ways of getting there, but we're going to get there.
Well, and your city council, you've got, what, five members? How many are Republican? How many are Democrat?
I think it's three and two.
So Republicans have the advantage?
Yeah. And but like I say, those meetings, and I'll say this, when I was on county council, really politics never entered the room. Everybody's got the best of the community in mind, I think, when we're dealing with issues and trying to prosper here in their community. So it's very refreshing to see how we can get along here, and it's a shame that can't happen in higher political offices.
Yeah, at the federal level, it just seems like we're not doing what's best for the masses these days. Both sides just want the power, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
it's a bit disheartening.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And you know, I served in the state legislature, and back then the numbers were almost even, especially in the House. Now the Republicans dominate, but back then we both sides worked together, and yeah, you try to advance stuff that would just make the state better, but it just seems like things have gotten way too partisan at the higher levels, and I think some of these federal officials especially could take some lessons from our small communities like ours.
I mean, a lot of that what you're mentioning, Dave, blocks a road of success, without a doubt.
And speaking of roads, we've got an old friend. I know my mentor, John Gregg, said, you know, he's never heard of a Democrat pothole or a Republican pothole. Or just potholes.
That's very true.
Well, let's move on. So you gave a State of the City update this week at the Clay County Chamber of Commerce luncheon, which was held at the YMCA, and you just gave a very informal update on what's been happening in Brazil for the past week, and you have had some success. It was one of the reasons that I invested in your community, just drove down US 40 and saw what you did with Main Street and worked with the state to help make that happen, and Brazil's come a long way, I think, under your leadership, so you should be applauded for a lot of the successes that have been taking place here, first of all.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave, and speaking of the 40 project, back when that happened, and we were very fortunate for that to really happen, that I felt like was going to be our springboard to really move forward, because it gave us a lot better venue downtown, you know, in streetscape, and things are getting fixed up and have been in the last several years. So that was a great start to moving forward here in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. And the city looks better just because of what you've done with Main Street. Now, I guess I've got one question as a selfish business owner across the street from the building I'm staring out of right now. What's going to happen to the old McCurdy's decorating MAB store?
I don't know. I haven't heard any yet. There had been a few rumors floating around about it, but I haven't heard anything concrete, solid, or seen any permits come through City Hall that would say, indicate, you know, what's being done with that building. But I believe it's still family owned, and they'll decide, I guess, what they want to do to it at some point.
It's just one of the few remaining kind of eyesores I'd love to see improve along the rest of the route.
Absolutely.
I was just curious to throw that in. You talked about some of the things that have happened in the past year at this week's chamber meeting. First of all, you've got a significant piece of equipment added to the fire department. Talk about that.
Yeah, we were able to get a new lead engine. It was way overdue. It had been 20 years since there had been a new fire truck purchased here in the city. It came in at the tune of $550,000.
Yikes.
And that's a lot of money, but yet it's really not when you're talking about you're investing in the safety of your community. You know, you're investing in the safety of 8,000 or 8,500 people. So when you break that down, that's something we want to keep doing. We also spent $70,000 to $80,000 on new air packs for our firemen. We want to keep them in the most updated equipment we can. You know, their job when the bell rings, you know, they're there and you know they're going to enter houses. We need to keep them as safe as we can. So we do try to keep things updated for our fire department. Very proud of our new lead engine.
And for a town this size, and what is our population roughly in Brazil?
I think it's around 8,500.
Okay. For a community this size, it seems unusual that you do have a 24-hour fire department.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to understand we've got buildings here that are people living in that I believe is 11 stories. So, you know, you have that's why you need those aerial ladders and things like that. So, yeah, it's great. It's a great addition to have a full-time fire department.
Sure.
A lot of communities our size don't.
Yeah, so, I've noticed a lot of communities your size are still volunteer.
Oh, but, yeah. But that's, you know, our response time. And a figure that I mentioned in what I was giving out the other day, we responded to fires of various sizes, to structures and things like that that would have totaled, I think, around, what, $900 million in value. And what was damaged was around $300,000. So that tells you how much was saved by having that local fire department. You know, we can beat a fire in a lot of cases 1 to 2 minutes.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And people may not realize this, but that makes everybody's fire insurance cheaper, too.
Oh, well, certainly. It certainly helps a lot. And we also do, we cover Brazil Township also. They pay us an annual fee, so we cover them also.
Okay. Now, the fire department has a little more space because the police department has a new location, right?
Yeah, we moved the police department down in the west end of town at the old Duke property. We remodeled that. It's worked out great. But in doing that, it did free up some room that was much needed for our fire department downstairs where they're not having offices and stuff, the same in the garage where you have engines running and things like that, and gave them some more breathing room down there.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the other departments. I think you've had some activity when it comes to water lines and sewer. Give us a quick update there.
Yeah, we're always looking to upgrade water lines and obviously wastewater lines. And we did start a storm utility, as most people know, last year. That right now, I think that storm utility, you see it on your bill, most residents was $5. It's generated about $215,000 now. The idea of that is it gives us money to use for grant. When you get grants, you have to have matching money. And that's what our intent is to use that for, is to create some money we have. When we go after them grants, we got to be able to afford to take it when it comes our way.
Because they always demand, like, if you get a state grant, they want you to have a certain local match, right?
Yeah, you got to have a local match. It may be 20 or 30%. Some federal grants are 50, but so that's how you create that match money. And also what I've seen happening, too, our wastewater department was trying to fund the stormwater, and, you know, that was difficult for them to do and for them to do any capital improvement projects because they were spending all their money was heading the other direction.
And for the average person, if they don't quite see the big picture sometimes on why some of this infrastructure is needed, if you're talking to an industrial company that's thinking about putting a new plant here, they need electricity, they need water, they need sewer, and if you can't make that happen, they're going to go elsewhere, aren't they?
You're absolutely right. You know, I think to facilitate growth, the number one thing that you have to have is you got to have utilities there for them. Or you're exactly right, Dave. They're going to go elsewhere. You got to have that. So the more we can expand our utilities, the more we can expand, you know, our industrial base. And you're going to see that happen out there at Great Dane and PPG, that industrial park out there. The plans are in the works, and everything's going along as planned. We're going to build, along with the county, a new water tower out there. So it'll service that whole industrial park, because when we have a fracture or something on our 18-inch main, it shuts down all the water to those places. And I'll tell you, that's a very costly situation for them to have to deal with all of a sudden when there's no water supply. So that's going to be taken care of. And along with that, there'll be some new entryways put on County Road 300 out there that will go to the PPG plant. You know, there's a case right there. They're expanding as we speak. So we're seeing a lot of that industrial growth around here, and it's fantastic. But we got to have utilities to service it. People need to realize our water department, we not only service Brazil, but, you know, we supply water to outlying areas around us, such as Carbon, Center Point, Niceville, and Harmony. So, you know, it's a task to make sure we have safe drinking water for all those people included.
So the new water tower would be located where?
It'll be out there over towards the east edge of that industrial park back there by PPG.
Okay.
I believe it's going to be 100,000 gallon.
Here's something that I just thought of. I know when I first moved here a few years ago, there was some kind of a state study or some kind of group that put out this claim that Brazil was one of the poorest communities in Indiana, and that kind of surprised me and worried me briefly as a new business investor. But then I drive around to the edge of town, especially out by the park, and I see all those beautiful homes that are built that are technically not in the city. Has there ever been any push about possibly annexing areas like that, or is that kind of a dirty word?
No. Well, yeah, in some areas it are, but, you know, I think some of those you're referring to, they are annexed. St. Andrews, Glen, Forest Green, that's down there south.
So those are in the city.
Those are in the city limits. Here a few years ago, we did annex 80 acres. It's just south of the golf course between that and that 800. So we did. There's some expanded area there that was annexed in at that point too, and there were city services he put into there, so something could happen down in that area also.
Okay, because I heard that statistic, and I'm thinking, well, that's a little questionable, because when you think about all the industry that's here and the fact that you've got a lot of people that build nice homes here, that I don't think we're last like that one survey claimed.
You know, and let's face it, you can do surveys and make them read however you want to do. That wouldn't bother me, I'll be honest with you. You know, and we've done some research on it, and that really wasn't supported by any valid type of survey company or anything like that. It was it was a kind of a dead end when we went to look and where it was generated from. But it would be odd for me to think that we're as poor as they wanted to claim us are, when we have several investment businesses here where people invest money and do a lot of things like that. We're certainly not poor.
Well, and I think the most significant part of that story that came out, though, they were trying to base it on income, but we can now shatter that issue, because most of these industries, they've raised their hourly wage to a point to where they're trying to find good people to come to work right now. And I think, you know, if you want to find a job right now in this community, you can find one and get pretty good pay and benefits.
Well, you can. And, you know, we was one of the few communities on the last census. We actually had an uptick in our population. I think what you're seeing happen, people are moving into this community for a couple reasons. I think one thing, people look at schools, they look at taxes, and they look at what amenities you may have to offer. And we're pretty competitive right there. They may work outside the community even, but they're choosing to live here.
Sure. Well, and the taxes are pretty low compared to a lot of communities.
Sure.
Property tax. I'm out in the county, and it's a fourth of what I paid when I lived in the city of Washington, for example. I know that doesn't help your tax base in the city. But, yeah, I think it's a low-cost place to live. We're close to Indy. We're close to Terre Haute. So I think Brazil's got a lot going for it. We're still practically the crossroads of America, and we're along the old National Road, which has a lot of historical significance.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. There's a large traffic flow through here.
Yeah.
You know, we come through town between 4 and 6 o'clock. It's busy.
Yeah. The only thing I wish we could lure eventually, even though I know we've got a decent one out at the interstate, I'd like to see someone come in and invest, a 50 or 60 unit motel with a conference room in the city. I think these industries would probably use it, you know.
It's kind of funny you brought that up, Dave. I met with a company yesterday on that very subject.
Really?
Yeah, that's based out of Wisconsin, and they kind of target smaller towns, and that's what they do is build a motel or hotel that's kind of sized to fit that. So
we may have some breaking news here.
Well,
okay,
I'd hope so, but right now it's in the very early stages. I was doing a lot of fact-finding and met with these two gentlemen yesterday on that very subject that represent that company.
Well, you know, whether it's people who like to travel the old U.S. highways, mm-hmm. I mean, I intentionally will stay off interstates, especially 70 these days.
Yeah.
I'd rather drive 40 to Indy these days than get on I-70. But you've got people that intentionally drive old U.S. highways like 40 and make a trip out of it. And it just mm-hmm. seems like if you could lure a motel to the heart of Brazil somewhere, that would pay off. And then you'd have all these industries, when they send someone from another plant to come here for a few days, you would be able to fill those rooms. So I hope you lure them in.
Yeah, there's a lot of visitors come here, even to see family and things like that. And
yeah.
I really believe, but we need to do a study, and that's what we're working on now, to see if it would look like we could handle something like that.
Let's talk about some of the new business that's come recently and some of the stuff that's about to come. Some new restaurants are happening. Tell us about those.
Sure. If most people's noticed the old telephone building at downtown is being renovated. That's going to be a restaurant coming in town, along with where Fifi's used to be. If you're familiar with that, I've been told that's been bought, and that's going to be another restaurant or sandwich shop. We have Bits and Bites that opened up last year down by Mario Brothers. It's going to be a restaurant going in at 59 and Pinckley Street. They're at that old gas station that has been renovated. That place really looks pretty cool, by the way.
It does, yes.
It's going to really be an eye catcher there, I believe. So we are seeing some more varieties of restaurants more some trendy type restaurants coming in, and Kentucky Fried Chicken, obviously, they're under construction right now, just east of the courthouse.
Okay. How about industry? Have you got any nibbles or anything invested-wise on new industry?
Yeah, out at the what they call the OU Tectic sites, or some people may remember it at Festival Homes, there's going to be a powder coating company locating there. That property acquisition, I know, is done. There's been some abatements and things like that in line, so you'll see that happening. And, of course, that's something new, but if you look around, the places that are actually in the city, there looks like a lot of expansion going out at Emmer's Trust Factory, and they're building a lot more out there, and we're going to see more happen out in there. So the industry here is really solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Next to my radio tower, you mentioned the Emmer's. That trust area just keeps getting bigger and bigger, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's great to see that happen, too. And it's all here local.
Yep. Great Dane seems to be doing well. They are doing great business. And mm-hmm. We partner with them a lot to try to lure more employment there. But they are just one of many good industrial partners you have in the community.
Yeah. Out there with, like, say, those PPG and the other entities that's out there, they're all obviously hiring. And the neat thing about, I think, what we got going on here in our industrial base is there's a variety of job skills available, from anywhere from trade skills on up to 4-year degree skills, but they're at the same place. So there's a variety of jobs here that's available, and I think people will be searching those out.
So if you have a vision for down the road, I mean, you've had great vision all along being the leader of this community. What kind of things would you like to see happen over the next 5 or 10 years to make the community better?
Well, one thing that I hope to see happen, and we're kind of working on, is something that's really important I should have mentioned before, is park and recreation. A lot of people look at what you have available there, and for a community our size, it's really great. Of course, Forest Park's our main park. And, we've got a Pete Dye Design golf course setting over there, too. The Brazil Concert Band, what they do, that's something unique that not every community has in the summer, have a concert every Sunday. And then Craig Park, We're going to see improvements out there. There's more ball diamonds being built, trails, things of that nature. Of course, there's a lake out there, and we're working on camping where there'll be hookups and things like that. So I'd like to see more of those type of activities.
You've got a dog park out there, right?
Absolutely. We increased the size of it and 3/4 acre. That's used quite a bit. So we want to see that. But another big thing, Dave, is blight elimination. And as you mentioned earlier, we're seeing that happen downtown. We want to see, let's start spreading that out, you know, beyond Main Street. And we have been, and it's working.
Back to the park for a second. You didn't mention the splash pad, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something hopefully we'll see this summer. We're going to build a splash pad over there. Those are very, very popular. They're economical to operate. I don't think they're a fad. They're here to stay. And we certainly, just things like that. You know, we want to stay up with the speed of what's going on right now and have those things for people to take their kids to and offer them for recreation.
So that could be open this summer, you're saying?
I'm hoping it's under construction this summer.
Okay.
That's our goal.
Okay, very good. In the few minutes we have left in the program, you mentioned some of the blighted areas.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we'd like people to take a little bit of personal responsibility,
sure,
too, and pick up their yards and so forth. Is there anything the city can do as things hopefully calm down with COVID to where we could do a citywide cleanup day and maybe encourage people
we
to clean up their yards?
We do that, Dave, and I feel like our approach should be the first thing when you find those non-compliant issues and stuff in the yard. Obviously, they get a letter, you know, and things like that. But our job, I think, also, let's help them do it. You know, now if it becomes where there's a lot of pushback and they don't want to, but, you know, and we've done that. If they need a dumpster to throw it all in or things like that, the city's done that, provided that, things like that, to help facilitate them do it. You know, to just go out there and say we want this and that done and they have no direction on how to do it, I think it's the wrong way to go about it. So we have had a lot of success with, we've probably tore down over 50 blighted houses, which is a lot in a community that size.
That is.
And you're seeing a lot of pockets of areas getting cleaned up. And it is contagious. People will start taking a little more pride in it. The big thing that started was if the streets. Once you get a nice street in front of your house, you're more likely to want your place to look a little better, too.
That's a good point. In the remaining moments that we have, is there anything we haven't covered from the city standpoint that's either underway or things you'd like to see happen in the next year or two?
Yeah, we got projects next year or two. You know, we're going to stay on the streetscapes, obviously, and I want to concentrate more on sidewalks, Dave.
Okay.
We've got a lot of sidewalks that I think need repaired and replaced, and that's going to be something at the forefront also.
By the way, you look great, but the one thing that maybe a lot of people don't know, you've had a health battle the last year or so. Would you mind sharing with the community what's been going on there?
Yeah, and I mean, most people know. I went through a cancer illness. It actually started back in 2017, but been able to deal with it. I've got a good report right now on my condition right now. Feel great. You know, as we talked a little earlier, you know, when it comes to I'm not blazing a new path that nobody's been on. I just do what the doctors tell me, but I've been going to Simon Cancer Center. I've got good results, and I think a lot of it, it's not about surviving the cancer if you can survive the treatments. It was kind of a rough summer last summer, but we got through that, and we had good results from it, and I appreciate, believe me, all the support the community has given me throughout that trying period.
Well, we'll keep you in our thoughts and keep up the good work and progressing through that. I know that can take a lot out of a person, but you're still doing a good job leading the city and appreciate all you do to make the community better.
Well, thank you and all your efforts here too.
Well, and thank you. And then, by the way, if people want to come to your city council meetings, those are normally held when?
They're on the second Wednesday of the month at 5:00 at City Hall.
Okay, and we're starting to attend those and to make sure that we put them on our Facebook Live on WAMB's Facebook. And we're trying to make sure that if people want to see what's going on, they
sure
can kind of see it live or watch it later. So
we welcome that. And you can also get on the city websites. All the minutes are posted there too.
Okay, very good. Well, Mayor, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to give us a quick update and keep up the good work. And we hope your health continues to go in the right direction.
Oh, I'm confident it will. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, very good. This has been Focus on the Community for the weekend of January 30th, 2022, produced by the DLC Media News Center. For a download of this show and other past programs, you can visit any of our radio station websites. We thank Brian Windham, the mayor of Brazil, for being our guest today on Focus on the Community. I'm Dave Crooks, and thanks for listening.